We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, and we're pleased to know that he is still on the throne. And he abides as he always has from the beginning of creation, even to this very day. He abideth and he will continue to abide. And even in these days that we now live, nearing the time of his return, we want you to understand that he is in control of everything and all things will be according to his will. The Bible was wrote back with the patriarchs all the way from Abraham's time and was inspired by the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that by these things that the Word of God is truth, and we need to abide in his Word, not trying to change it, but to abide in it and receive it as the truth. As the patriarchs of old, the prophets of old, and the apostles of the New Testament, as Jesus gave to them by his Spirit to write unto you and I, and this day that they are being fulfilled in our time, as even as the Lord God himself spoke to them in the Matthew, the 24th chapter. Also in the second chapter of Joel, he brings forth the things that would transpire at his near return. My friend, and these things will be as it is written, and no man has the right to try to change it under any circumstances. If he does change it, or if he takes out or he adds to any, his part of the book of life will be taken out and not given unto him. But if he adds to the plagues of, adds to this and brings forth false teaching, the plagues of this book will also be added unto him. And the time that God will do this is when he casts all unrighteousness, as with the devil and all of his angels, into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I encourage you to read your Bible. I encourage you to study it rightly and divide the truth. If you ask God for the truth and to lead you into all truth, he will also do that. But my friends, you got to ask. He's not going to just take you down and set you down and point his finger and hit you on the nose and say, you're going to hear it whether you like it or not. But he will if you understand what he's trying to do to bring salvation unto the world that is so engulfed in sin, pleasures of life, being led by other spirits that are bringing forth damnation upon the soul of man, that God will deliver you from these things, but you need to understand that we're living in the time of the fulfillment of the Word of God. In Jerusalem there, when the apostles asked the Lord of the time of the coming of his return, he told them, they say they looked at the temple there, and this was in 70 A.D., and they admired how beautiful it was and the construction of it there. But Jesus told them, he said, that there was not one stone would not be left upon another which would not be thrown down. These things happened. The Roman soldier came in and they destroyed the temple that which was then, and there hasn't been another one since. My friends, we got to realize that these things happened back then, and the fulfillment of God's word is fully upon us this day, and things will be according to his will. So we need to study the word of God. We need to see what he has to say about these days that we're in, we live, because there's been such a falling away. There's churches today, they won't even open up the doors on Sunday afternoon, and very little they do on any other time of the week. They got to have their little fiestas, and they got to have their little twerks and the little things there that goes on, but the Word of God is not being brought forth as it should be. So let me encourage you, read your Bible, find out what it has to say about these days that we live, and you will understand it a little better if you'll ask God by His Spirit to lead and direct you in the way that He would have you to go, and that He would give you the understanding. So as we go before the Lord with prayer, we want you to pray one for another. Pray for our boys and girls that have been afflicted with such turmoil in these past wars that we've going on with Iraq and Afghanistan and all these things. We got to realize that those people are workers of iniquity, and they have not the love of God in them, and they care nothing for human lives, not even to their own life. They count it to be nothing but just something other than to destroy someone else, and they're going to receive a blessing from Allah. Well, I got news for you, my friend. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized into one body, and Christ Jesus is the head of that body, which is called the church. And we ought to understand that He is the sovereignty. God Himself was brought forth, incarnated in the flesh, and the face that Jesus brought on God was in the face of Jesus Christ, for in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. So, my friend, who are you going to believe? A false religion? Or are you going to believe what the Word of God has to say? That's why I encourage you, read your Bible and see what it has to say. You don't have to take my word for it, or some of these here people on TV that after your money and after whatever you can abide to give them and make them rich in this world's goods, and but give you nothing for salvation for your soul. Then you need to turn away from these things, my friend, and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, and all these other things will be added unto you. So as we go to prayer, let's pray one for another and pray for our men and women that have been all hurt up in these wars, and that God will have us to know that what is and what will be and the near coming of His appearance in the clouds of glory. Father, we thank You today for Your love and for Your mercy, for that You have brought forth out of Your Word, brought into us and confirmed by Your Spirit that You are the true and the living God. We praise You. We thank You, Father, for that wonderful name of Jesus, wherein all the fullness of the Godhead abides. We praise You for Your love and Your mercy, and for all that You have blessed us with, not seeking after the things of this world or the material things, silver and gold, but seeking after the righteousness of God in Thy kingdom, O Lord. We pray that You would help us to do so, and with all of our heart giving praise unto Thee, from the calves of our lips, worshiping You in spirit and in truth, bringing forth the fruits of the Spirit, and giving praise unto a holy God that You are, giving attention to all that You have said in the past and brought forth into the future that we're living now in the last days, soon in Your return. So we hasten unto that time and look into Thee. Well, we ask that You would help us to be prepared and be faithful. Keep our oil and our lights burning and shining forth into the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereby that we will be considered worthy to enter into Thy kingdom. And all that is be done in Thy holy name, in the name of Jesus, we give You praise and honor in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask it in faith, believing, looking unto Thee to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We give You the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Here's my wife. She's got something other for you here now. We'll turn it over to her to let God have His way. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
I just thank the Lord again that we still have a privilege of lifting up the name of Jesus. And I thank Him for what He's given to me today to share with you. And it'll be a blessing to you. But the article is about the midnight hour is upon us. And And there's so much going on in the world today that we don't want you to be misinformed. But at the same time, it seems that each new headline or impending catastrophe is so large and threatening that the end or the approach of the end of the world is now inevitable. This causes me to think about these things that are brought to us to keep us distracted and unfocused like pawns in an advanced chess game. As a result, we or most of us are so caught up in the confusion of this world that our purpose is neglected. Our culture, which is made up of all the stimuli that enters our brain, is bent on bringing us distraction from every purpose and cause. The attitude of those around us, the sin-destroyed families, foul entertainment choices, lewd behavior reported on our news outlets, all of it has the goal of bringing us down and rerouting our mission. This world's so messed up and beyond repair, but praise God our feet only lightly touch the ground, for we don't belong here. We're just passing through. I'm not going to tell you that it'll get any better, because I don't think it will, and according to the Bible, it won't. In fact, I am convinced this world is in a nosedive without remedy. There is, however, a light at the end of the tunnel. It's a long, dark tunnel we're entering, and the light on the other side is the resurrection. When he comes with judgment. And for those who love and know him, it will be the declaration of innocence, for the blood of the Lamb has covered their sin. After the turmoil of the midnight hour, his angels will, in the twinkling of an eye, gather the redeemed from the four corners of the earth, and those deceived of Satan will see it all. They know that they are not of the up crowd because of the company they're keeping. Those damned to the dust will have been raised prior to his coming, so they might be prepared for God's wrath will have just begun. It's right there in the Bible, in several places, that when he comes, he brings with him judgment. Any other coming before that isn't mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Friends, I know that many of you, how hard the teachings of the apostles have been for the past years. It's hard because we always thought we were taught the apostles' teaching, but it turns out that they have been meddled with. We are in the middle of God's long suffering toward us, but he loves us enough to reveal himself, and his word is as we approach the great time of judgment. We have but one purpose, and our purpose is to warn our family, our friends, and our loved ones who are out of the ark of safety, and that we are approaching the time when God will say, that's enough. We're like Sodom and Gomorrah, and like the days of Noah, when the pleasures of life are more important than serving God. When the church resorts, when the church resorts to entertainment that tickles the fancy instead of proclaiming repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ, they've lost every mission that Jesus has commanded them to do. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be ours to behold. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said in his own words, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Choose this day whom you will serve, and humble yourselves before God. One day, we will all bow, saints, sinners, and everybody will bow on their knees and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Best to do it now. The meek shall inherit the earth, but the rebellious and ungodly will inherit an unending punishment in hell, where the fire is never quenched. And it's in your Bible. You don't know where it is. You just let us know. Going to give you our address here, but in the meantime, I want to share with you an email that we received from, we don't know where they're from, but that's all right. We appreciate each and every email we get, but this one here said, there's so much missing from my life. I found Jesus, And now I am happy like never before. And here's another one. We've had very bad weather this year, and it makes me think it is a sign from God. And I worry. The last days are coming, and I want everybody to know and to be ready. And then we have a friend down in São Paulo, Brazil. We just thank you for listening to us, and that our broadcast will be a blessing to you, and it'll get you a closer walk with the Lord. And if you would like to email us, we appreciate each and every email. It gives us encouragement that somebody out there is listening. You can give us feedback, tell us what you don't like, or just let us know that you're listening. And you can email us to ecompton31@yahoo.com. Or if you have something that you would like to share with others, you can send it to Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. And we invite you 24/7 when you have want to listen to some preaching end time or whatever. We've been on our website since 2012. And you can go back and listen and let us know what you think of us and everything. But go to www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. Click on Take Time for Jesus, and you'll see you'll be able to read the emails that we've received from people and also the messages that we have preached. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We don't ask for a lot of money, but if the Lord lays it on your heart to help us, it would be greatly appreciated. And you can send that to Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. Let us hear from you. Let us know that you appreciated us, or you don't appreciate us. It's all right. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. And look up. Jesus is coming soon. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to realize, my friend, today, if you will be encouraged and read your Bible, look at the events that are happening around the world and across the world, and these things are being fulfilled that has been stated in your word. And without any provocation of whatever you may think or whatever I may think, we need to consult the word of God, for these days that we live are upon us, and they were spoken of by the Lord himself and the apostles of old. And even back in the time of Isaiah, he speaks about these days that we're living and the times that are now upon us. We're living in the days that when Noah preached 120 years, that God was going to send a flood, and the people didn't believe him then. Neither will some believe the report that has been given by the apostles and by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're living in these last days and whereupon these things are being fulfilled. If you will reread your Bible and believe what the Word of God has to say, my friend, it will bring you to the knowingly that it's time to repent, knowingly that it's high time, and far spent is the day of glit and glamour, but it's coming to soon to be a mourn and a groan for them that are not known of God. If you would go back into the scriptures of Noah's time, you will find that therefore the people paid no attention, but until the time that Noah entered into the ark, it's 7 days of grace. And my friend, we may be living in that last period of grace of God that are waiting upon them that would repent and turn their hearts to him and come to him with repentance. We may be in the closeness even nearer than what we might think. I believe that we're living in the last days, for the things that was then in Noah's day are upon us. sin running rampant, people doing all kinds of things. But when we read in Luke there, the worrying that the Lord mentioned about Lot's day, well, look at it this way. Both of those are combined together in yours and my time. Sin is running rampant. People are going about doing all kinds of things, killing people from just no reason at all. Apparently, they've taken lives that are innocent lives. They are killing one another because the devil is a roaring lion reaping out what he may devour, and he's causing a lot of havoc across the land. We've had the earthquakes, we have the wars, we have the things that which in the Lord has spoken about in Matthew 24. Read it for yourselves. But look into the chapter there of Joel in the second chapter. And this is what I'm trying to do. As Joel was there, wrote to, he said, when he had Joel to write, he said, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Therefore also, in the 12th verse, he said, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn you even unto me with your heart, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repent him to do evil." I want you to think about it, my friend. Today, as we look into the scriptures, we need to realize that all these things will be come to pass as it is written. And now that many of them that are up on us, when Jesus took the apostles aside and told them about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, it came forth and was done, and it has been that way ever since. There's not a temple been built on the Temple Mount, or that one that are blaspheming of God set up there by the Muslims are there, but not a temple of the Jewish temple, of the temple of God, that were in that he said he would establish his name and he would dwell there, my friend. But it's coming to pass, and there will be a time of that they would return unto the Lord with their whole heart. Many of the Jewish people used to be, when they get into a turmoil of mourning and everything, they would tear their outer garments. That doesn't prove anything, but just you tore your clothes. But it showed them that they was in a mourning state. My friend, it needs to turn to the Lord and rend your heart, not your outer garment. Outer garment ain't going to bring repentance to you. You need to rend your heart. You need to open up your heart and let God come into your life. We're living now in the time that are upon us, that Jesus is soon will appear in the clouds of glory. Oh, there's many doctrines that difference of opinions about this thing. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible to see what it has to say. Don't take my word for it, and none of these TV preachers or any other preacher, whether he's on a computer or radio or whatever. But believe what the Word of God says. If you read it, then when the preacher brings forth the truth of God's word, you'll know that he is a man of God. He is one that bringeth forth the truth out of the word of God. But if he brings not this gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. Many of them now are bringing forth a gospel to enhance their richness, and they are depriving you of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but bringing to you these things of riches untold, that God's going to open up the windows and pour you out a blessing that you not have room to receive. But it's always for their wealth that they're bringing forth there. They're receiving and you're not receiving. You're giving to them on the false pretense. God didn't promise you or I any mansions of gold. He didn't promise you a bed of roses. He said, it was as the scripture teaches us, even that the time that when it was spoken of there, at the time when we got to realize that trouble is upon the world. And we know that the time that we got to understand that this world is teeter-tottering on destruction. It's not going to stand forever, irregardless of what some of these preachers are preaching, and they're laying up treasures for themselves against the days of old. I want you to understand that we're living in the last days. It's not for me to gain riches off of you. It's not for me to tell you a sob story and to bring you into the place that we're in that you will contribute to me of wealth of yours that you have earned by the sweat of your brow. But I want you to understand that God has gave you the ability to get what you have got. And without him, you have gotten nothing. Without him, you are lost. Without him, these preachers that are preaching all this prosperity stuff and all this glit and glamour that you're going to receive, even to the Muslims said if they kill some of their enemies, they'll get seven virgins and a river of honey. Well, you know that's a lie. Just like some of these here prosperity preachers up there, give, give, and it'll be shaken together, pressed down, measured out. God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room to receive. My friend, he didn't promise you all that. He said, but he would meet your needs. But John penned there, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, the riches of this world is not going to bring you into the kingdom of God. Silver and gold won't buy you a place in the kingdom of God. But repentance, rent your heart in sorrow, repenting unto the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all need to repent. Jesus Christ suffered on Calvary's cross for you and I. He died for you and I. He shed his blood for the cleansing power to wash your sins away by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And all these programs going on, and all they want is your money, and half of them don't even know the worth of God. They're just after your money. But yet you contribute to them because you've been led by the nose down a path of wealth and prosperity, and you have not repented. It's time to repent, my friend. It's time to know that the trumpet needs to be blown. And I'm trying to sound it. Joel in his day was told to blow the trumpet. And in the land of Zion, sound the alarm. Noah in his day sounded the alarm that God was going to send a flood upon the earth. The world didn't believe it because the water was filtered up out of the earth and watered the herbs of the earth at that time. It had never rained before. We haven't seen the Lord coming in the clouds of glory either. But my friend, I believe it is soon to transpire and to happen in yours and my time. I don't know the day or the hour. Any man that says and predicts that he knows the day and the hour is a liar, and the truth ain't in him, because the word of God says, no man, not even to the angels in heaven, knoweth the day or the hour. If we known the day or the hour, as the scripture says, Jesus spoke to the apostles, said if they had known the hour that the thief would come, they would have been prepared. They would have watched and not suffered their house to be torn, broken into. My friend, God has kept that in the secret simply because he wants you and I to pray. Watch, be prepared for the day and the hour of the coming of the Lord. We want to be ready. Only way I know that you can be prepared is pray without ceasing, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, not believing every wind of doctrine and these preachers that comes along and tries to hoodwink the people and brainwash them into they're the greatest and their word is truth, that they'll give you you can't do nothing without their permission and everything. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He's a false prophet. He's false according to God's will. God is the only ruling authority that we have to go by. And man made and has come up into this Laodicean church age that we're living in now is lukewarm. They think that they don't need anything. They got the richest of the world. Back in those days, they had a dye that brought forth wealth. But the water had to be aqueducted into them. By the time it got from the cool breeze of water in Colossia down into them by the aqueduct, it become lukewarm and it'd make you vomit. The Lord said, if you come to be there, that he'd rather you be hot or cold, for if you're lukewarm, he would spew you out of his mouth. That means it's going to make God sick of this here religious atmosphere that some people have fell into. And when it comes to the place that we're in, that Joel said again in the 15th chapter, verse of the second chapter, he said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that give suck to the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chambers and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and and give not thine inheritance that they approach, and that the heathen should rule over them, and therefore say among the people, where is their God? And then he goes on to say in the 28th verse, he said, and I shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon flaw of flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and the old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, those they will I pour out of my spirit. These things happened, the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy and his writing happened on the day of Pentecost, when the apostle Peter stood up there and preached unto them, and the Spirit of God filled them there, and they spoke with the marvelous, gracious things of God in every tongue and languages that God gave them the utterance, and there was people from all walks of life, all dialects, and all conversations there. And they was understood what these apostles and the 120 or those that was filled with the Holy Ghost in that day spake of the marvelous blessings of God, and they come to understand. And there was 3,000 souls added unto the church. 3,000 and the more have failed because of false teachings and doctrines, and because the lovers of pleasures and the lovers of these things of the world has come to be in the church. Oh, my friend, today the church has invited the world into it, come with their praise and their song and their dance, and they come with this thing of joy and jumping and hooping and yelling and false teachings and prosperity teachings. And this time of the life, that any old thing would do, you got to be more tolerant. God is not going to tolerate your sins, my friend. When he comes to make a judgment on the right and the unrighteous, he's going to make it plain and true. He's going to be as a shepherd brings his fold into in the winter. He separates them from the sheep and the goats, and he puts the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then when he says unto them that are on his right hand, enter in, and to them on his left hand, depart from me, I don't know you. It's going to be a sheep and a goat. They can pasture together, my friend, but there's quite a bit of difference in their atmosphere of their well-being. They're separated. They're not sheep, but they're goats. And so is that God's going to separate the sinful and the righteousness. He's going to say to them that have been born again and received of him of his spirit and been blessed of him, he's going to say, enter into my rest. But unto them that he classifies as goats, as unbelievers, and them that come forth to teaching another doctrine and preaching another Jesus, he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you, because they're going to stand there and say, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things in your name. We've cast out devils. We prayed for the sick and we've healed the sick and the lame. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So what are you going to do, my friend? You're going to believe every wind of doctrine, or you're going to read your Bible to find out what he has to say? He, Jesus, what he had to say, what he moved by his spirit on the face of the deep and created everything for his benefit and to bring it forth. Some people teach us that the sun is the Father, the moon is the sun and the lesser light, but God created all these things and he was before the sun and the moon was created. There's preachers going around and saying that they are the ultimate purpose of God here on earth, that they are the ones that make the decision for you, and you can't marry unless they approve of it. They can't go vacation unless they approve of it. You can't even buy an automobile without he approves of it. You can't do nothing without his approval. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He ain't got that right to bring that, but he's brainwashed many people, and many of them go by this, and they are on the road of destruction because they follow the man instead of the after Christ. The late Odyssean church age was ruled by men and their people there, and they told them what to do and what they couldn't do. And this day and hour, there's many of them doing the same thing today. My friend, there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and Jesus himself said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and no man cometh unto the me that the Spirit draweth him. And it's going to take the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to bring you into the kingdom of God. You're going to be born into the kingdom of God. You don't go join the body of Christ, but you're born into the kingdom of God by the renewing of your mind, washed in the blood of the Lamb and brought forth through victory out of the sins of the world, and Jesus Christ being the author and the finisher of your faith. Ain't no man got the right to tell you that you can do this and can't do that unless in his approval. My friend, God made each and every one of us a free moral agent. It's up to you to make that decision, not that man that claims to be him, God on earth. Because there's God on earth is abiding in the hearts of his people. In earth, he gave them that would believe on him and trust in him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He dwells in earthly tabernacles. He don't dwell in these here places that are so-called in multi-million dollar buildings that built and they call the house of God. Wherein can a man build a house that would house God? He's in the fullness. The heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. But yet he's big and he's small enough to abide in the soul of man and bring forth righteousness unto him by his spirit. Jesus said, it is expediently that I go away. For if I not go away, the comforter won't come. Jesus couldn't be with you and me everywhere in the flesh. But when he specifically said that he had to go away, or if he did not go away, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost would not come. The Comforter, in other words, he said, but I'll go and I'll prepare a place for you and I'll come again. And my friend, he has went and prepared that place. I believe it's ready. He's waiting upon the fruits of the Spirit to come into you and I and prepare us at a church, a bride that has made herself ready for her groom. My friend, it's time the church woke up to realization. Get out of the old doldrums that they're in. Go to worship in God in spirit and truth. Bring back the times that when then we used to let God's will be done instead of the man standing there and proclaiming this and proclaiming that. But let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, move in amongst the people. Therefore, then bring forth remission of sin unto them by the Spirit of God. Therefore, then we can have revival. They don't even know what revival is anymore because they all got so much animosity towards one another. The church is divided, or rather, they think that it is, but the church of the living God is on tack. It's in the presence of God. Them that have been born of the water and of the Spirit, received of God, the glory that that he wants to us to have by his Spirit. There's many denominations in this world, but I want you to understand the Church of the Living God is well, and it's doing well. But the only way that you're going to get into that body of Christ is being born again of the water and of the Spirit, having your sins washed whiter than snow by the blood of the Lamb, not by going and shaking his hand or paying a tribute to come into the place that wherein they call the house of God. It's futile. It'll bring you damnation if you believe all this stuff, but believe the word of God. God is the sovereignty of the soul of man. He created him in his image and in his likeness. The fall in the garden has brought separation with God and man because of disobedience. What are you going to do? You're going to disobey God's word? Or are you going to stand in the promise that he has gave us in the written letter and believe what God has to say? Believe him, and you can receive remission of sins. You can apply, he can apply the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for you and cleanse you from your unrighteousness, give you a new mind, a new heart, wherein you will respect him and give him glory and praise. But if you want to go by what man tells you, separate from what God would have you to know, then you can do so. You can believe every wind of doctrine that comes down the road, and you can believe this and you can believe that, and you can come short of the glory of God and fall headlong into the pits of hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you want to go there, God will let you, because you've got a choice. He's made you that way. You can choose. So choose today whom you will serve, as it was in the time that the prophets of old, when they come up, and there at the time that Baal was ruling and reigning in Jerusalem there, and the prophet came up and said, choose ye today to whom you serve. If Baal be God, then let's serve Baal. If God be God, then serve him. But the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And they all said, well. Well, they gave the prophets of Baal, 400 or so of them there, the animal to sacrifice unto God, and they laid it out there. They hooped and they yelled, they cut themselves, and they prayed and they hollered to Baal, and no answer came. But in the time of the daily sacrifice was to be brought forth about 3 a.m. in the afternoon, when he said, put aside, and he said, gather to me. And they laid out the sacrifice on the altar, and he put the wood, and they put no fire under it, but he brought 12 barrels of water, and he drenched it down with water, and he just simply prayed a prayer of simplicity, asking God to prove himself, no doubt, to the people of whom that he was. And he sent the fire, burn up the sacrifice, the wood left in the altar, and lapped up the water in the trench, and they accepted God as being God. But now today they've come to be something else. They're worshiping false gods, the ball games and all these things, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They've come to be stupid in their way of religious things. They've been given unto them this here false teachings and false doctrine that you got to be more tolerant. That's what's brought on to this here thing today of this same-sex marriages that the government has come down and passing laws. You remember how this president that we got, it's time for change? Well, he made a change, my friend, but it wasn't for yours and my benefit. It's for the devil and his glory. But he brought forth the change. He brought you and I under bondage of his doctrine and his teaching. And now it's time that we need to come back to God. We need to get get God back in our life and let God take charge of our lives and put aside all these false teachings and false doctrines. Bring back this solemn assembly. Blow the horn. Let the world know that there is a God that loved us enough that he died for us and he brought forth salvation unto them that would believe and trust in him. And he will bring it to pass that the day and the hour that his return will come. And when he comes in the clouds of glory, he will receive them that have repented of their sins and the blood washed white their sins by the blood of the Lamb. And that name is on the Lamb book of life. Receive them as his bride in the clouds of glory. And there we will ever be with the Lord. But them that have a fierce countenance and they that worship devils and false teachings will go by the wayside, fall headlong into hell, because he's going to bring judgment upon the righteous and he's going to say, enter in. If your name's on the Lamb's book of life, but unto them that have failed to call upon the name of the Lord, and they went by the way of Cain and Korah, down the road, slippery roads of into hell, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. There's only one God to fear. His name is Jesus. The God of redemption, his name is Jesus. The God, the creator, his name is Jesus. I want you to understand that there's no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. There's no other name. And if you're looking for another name, stop. Quit looking. Look into the Word of God and you'll find that he came in the volume of the book. He was the one that spoke to Abraham out of the heavens and said for him to separate himself from his people. Abraham went and got nephew Lot, but in the finalities of it, they had to separate, and God reconfirmed his covenant with Abraham. Separate yourself from the false teachings of this world, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him to be the author, the finisher of your faith, not seeking after the wealth of this world, because it's all going to be done away with. The material things of this world will be done away with. They'll go up in smoke, but only what's done for God's going to last. If you praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth, you will have that opportunity to lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. But the man that man the day have lifted up all things but the name of Jesus. A lot of them has come to the place, even to our government, has forbid the chaplains in the army to even pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. They don't want that name, as it was in the days of the apostles there. The Pharisees and the scribes forbid them to preach and to teach in that name because it brought the blood of Jesus upon them. They was the one that had it shed, my friend. Them religious people, them that claimed that they had it all and they had nothing but a false teaching. They had the blood of Jesus applied to their hand because they had him crucified. Away with him. Crucify him. They called him a blasphemer, a wine bibber, the gluttonous. And they called him a devil. They called him all sorts of things. But I call him Jesus, the Son of the living God. God in the flesh brought forth salvation by his death on Calvary. He came into this world, born of a virgin there, of a Jewish little Jewish girl, which some people today, their doctrine is they praise her and worship her. Jesus didn't come to say that you would worship her. He said, but out of the Jewish people, he brought forth a virgin, and she brought forth the man-child, which is Jesus Christ, and he shall save his people from their sins. This harlot doctrine that come forth out of the Catholicism and the Roman Catholic Church, bringing forth these things and teaching you that she is the Queen of Heaven. No, my friend, the Bible doesn't say anything about a queen of heaven, but it said that they worship the queen of heaven, bringing forth harassment upon them, bringing forth judgment against them. Jesus hadn't got a queen. He's got a bride. His bride is the church, which he purchased with his own blood there on Calvary. I want you to understand that Mary served a purpose. She was willing to be that instrument that God would use to bring forth his only begotten out of the womb of a Jewish girl named Mary, which was out of the lineage of David, wherein that kings come from. I want you to understand, my friend, it wasn't for them to make a big ritual out of. It was for the Jewish people to understand that there was a Messiah come into Jerusalem, and he was to save his people from their sins. They were to believe upon him and receive him. But the religious sects of that day, they brought forth harassments and judgment against him. That was supposed to be because he told them that he would suffer much there at the hands of them, and he would be crucified. But out of his crucifixion, my friend, today came forth liberty for them that would believe upon him and call upon his name. Through that precious blood, by faith, we've been cleansed from the unrighteousness of the world, therefore that we fell into from Adam's fall of disobedience. Be obedient to the word of God. Bring forth a judgment of God upon the world by praying and seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness with your whole heart. Sound the trumpet. Come forth and let God be in your life. Receive of his Spirit the Holy Ghost, and be born again of the water and of the Spirit. When Peter preached them there on the day of Pentecost, and when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved?" He said, "Repent." My friend, repentance has got to be the first works of yours and mine to come. Repent, asking forgiveness. Repent and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't get it no other way. You can't buy it, even though there's some of it goes about hollering and hooping and yelling and screaming and blabbling off some kind of stuff and everything, and they claim it be the Holy Ghost. Now, God knows his own spirit. Yes. I've seen some of these things happening, my friend, and it was like pouring a cold bucket of water down on the congregation because there was no results brought from it. There's just a hooping and a yelling, screaming to the top of their voice, and a lot of babbling going on, but no move of the Spirit. God knows his own, and he's not going to give his Spirit to an unwillingly temple. He's not going to abide in something that has not been born again and bought by the blood of Jesus. He's going to bring forth judgment upon the sinner and the ungodly, and them people that bringing forth another gospel, as Paul said, let it be a curse. There's no other way into the kingdom of God except through Jesus Christ. You can't get there with wealth, silver, and gold. The rich man thinks that he can get there. But Jesus spoke of the parable of the rich man and the camel and the eye of the needle. He spoke of the rich man with all of his wealth, and he loaded up on, and he put it as, for instance, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The eye of the needle was a small opening in the walls around Jerusalem. A man on the inside could easily defend it because it was just room enough for one man at a time to go through. It could be easily defended there, my friend, on the other side with a couple of men that no intruder would get in. But that camel could be put on his knees and unload his burden, and you could pull and push him, and by squeezing him in there, he may be able to get into the eye of the needle. But a rich man is not willing to get onto his knees and unload his riches and up and there in order to get in. But so now it comes by faith in Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel, the bringing forth repentance has got to come from the heart, my friend, not through wealth in these things. I see our time is almost gone, but I want you to understand and let me encourage you, read your Bible. Read what the Word of God has to say. Don't take my word or no other man's word for it, but read it for yourself. Then when that man that stands up or sits down, however he brings forth the gospel of Jesus Christ in its glorious way that it's written, and you'll know for certain that that man is telling you the truth because you read it for yourself, and you don't have to go by guesswork. You'll know. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Pray one for another. Pray without ceasing, seeking out the kingdom of God with your whole heart. The time is running out. Jesus is soon to come, and the day of the hour, I don't know, but he's soon to come because all these things are being fulfilled. And he said, the generation that seeth these things coming to pass will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. My friends, pray and seek after the kingdom of God. Read your Bible and look to him for being the author and finisher of your faith. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Pray for us as we pray one for another. May God bless you and keep you is our prayers. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first